Is it on? How's that?
There we go.
I usually don't need one of these, and if I get too loud with it on, raise your hand or put your fingers in your ears or something, and I'll tone it down a little bit. I've been known to get a little loud once in a while, and I've been known to people to enough. So let me know.
Don't be too loud for me. Go ahead.
I'll do it, Joe. I'm happy to be here this morning to talk to you a little bit about the gospel of Christ, to maybe share some experiences and share some stories with you. You know, I've been called the world's greatest optimist because I always seem to look on the sunny side. I always see things good. I hardly ever look on the dark side or the bad side. But you know what? The gospel of Christ has made me an optimist. The gospel of Christ has made me a positive person because I read in the scriptures that if we rely on Him, if we turn our lives over to Him, if we obey His commandments, then nothing is impossible to us. And all those burdens that are in the world can be lightened through Christ. All of the sin in the world can be turned away through Christ. All of the temptations that come upon mankind, and especially, hear this, especially upon those who make an effort to follow after Christ, the devil tries harder to ensnare them. But being the optimist I am and believing in Christ as I do and believing in this gospel as I do, I believe that He gives us a way to overcome these temptations that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. And I want to say that I was glad to be here to be a part of that class, to hear the concerns that this people have about their everyday life. The concerns about the wiles of the devil. Because as long, brothers and sisters, as we have these concerns, we have a one-upmanship on the devil. It's when we're not concerned, it's when we sit back and say, that can't happen to us, that's when we need to be concerned. But as long as we know what's out there, and as long as we know that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, we will win. We will come out on top. I'd like to open my sermon this morning out of the Book of Mormon on page 224. This is out of the third chapter of the book of Mosiah. Now, if you have your books and you want to follow along, I'll give you a minute to find it. I'm going to be reading verses 8 through 12. And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, His sons and His daughters. And you know, I don't ever read that verse that it doesn't send a chill up my back. To know that we have an opportunity to be called the sons and the daughters of God. And that brings visions into my head of all of the responsibilities that entails. Not only the responsibilities, but also all those great and marvelous promises that those who have this privilege to be called the children of God, all those promises that God has made to His children, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. I've been told that lately, and it's true, I confess, I've been told that lately in my sermons I've had a tendency to want to come down hard, to want to straighten everything up. And I tell you, I can't do it. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about the privileges that we have. I'm going to talk a little bit about the promises that we have. Us few people who are the devout followers of Christ. And yes, we have differences among us. Yes, we have problems among us. But let me tell you this, of all assurity, I can stand behind this desk and say it without fear of being reprimanded, that we have much more promises, much more love, and much more opportunity than any of those out in the world. Even with the problems that we have among us today, we're still blessed much more than the world. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters. And under this head ye are made free, and there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ. And it's more, brothers and sisters, than just going down into the waters of baptism. It's more than just having hands laid upon your heads for the reception of the Holy Ghost. There's more to that, taking upon you the name of Christ, than just those two acts. Although they are very important acts. No, it's that daily life, that Christ-like life that you and I must lead, that truly puts upon us the name of Christ. All you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the ends of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God. For he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. I've said that God makes promises to us each and every day of our lives. When we're tired, he promises to give us strength. When we're frightened, he promises to give us courage. Whenever we falter, he promises to be there to reach out his hand and help us get up off of the floor. His promises are there to claim when we're worried or when we're sick or when we're angry or when we're lonely, when we're depressed, or when we just need God's presence in our lives. He makes a promise that through obedience, he will give us these things. How many of us today, and I know that everyone out here will raise their hand when I ask this question, how many of us out there today has something in this life to worry about? It's not the same thing with each one of us, but every one of you out there has something that they're worried about today. This morning, something that you're worried about. But you know what Christ says? In Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." A promise to those that are worried. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee, it says in Psalms 55:22. There was a time about, 7 years ago now, or eight, I know time passes so fast, that I was contemplating making a move. Move from a home in Independence that I'd lived all my life, 20-some years in one home, and I was going to pack it all up and put it aside and head for Texas and make my fortune. And that worried me. And that worried the family. And that was a terrible burden upon us to try to make this move, to leave our children and leave a daughter that was in high school who really refused to go with us and move to Texas to take up another job. But you know, we prayed to the Lord and we cast our burden at His feet. And He blessed us during that move. And He took care of us. And He took that worry from our minds. And He can do the same for you today with the worry that you have this morning. But you know what you have to do? You have to get down on your knees and you have to turn it over to Him. And then put it out of your mind, because you know that all things work for good to them that love the Lord. And if you keep that in mind, it will be well with us. John 14:1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." I want to read one verse out of 1 John. I'm going to read out of the 14th chapter of St. John, the 27th verse. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I've often wondered what this meant when it says, "not as the world giveth." You know, whenever somebody in the world generally gives you something, there's a little string attached to that. They're always willing to jerk it back just when you want to enjoy that which they give to you. But when Christ gives you something, when Christ gives you His peace, it's unconditional. He gives it to you for yours to keep. There's no strings attached. We have to qualify for this. We have to qualify for this. And the way we qualify is through obedience. So if you're worrying about something this morning, anything at all, if you are burdened with anything at all this morning, open the Bible. Open the Book of Mormon. And I can assure you, you'll find some verse in there that will give you solace, that will give you peace. Do you have doubt in your mind this morning? Maybe doubt about what Frank Fan is standing up here telling you. Maybe doubt about some point of doctrine. Maybe doubt about your own spirituality. I'd like to turn over now to Romans, if you will. The 8th chapter of Romans. And start with the 24th verse. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen." Excuse me. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good that them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And I mentioned that a while ago, that if we love God, if we are truly called of God into this church, into his being, into his body, then we have claim upon those promises that God has made concerning these things. The Book of Mormon says a lot about doubt. In Alma 26:103, it says, "Whosoever did not doubt that they should be preserved by his marvelous power." We can't doubt that God is among us. We can't doubt that God is working with this people today. Do we doubt that? Do we doubt that God's Spirit is still among us today? I hope not. I hope that we are all able to see the evidence of God's hand within this Church of Christ. And I think if we take the time to prayerfully look, we'll still find it. Maybe not in the abundance that each one of us feels that it should be there. And I feel that way too. But he's still working among us. We still have a chance, brothers and sisters. We're not cast out yet. We're not kicked out yet. We still have a chance to come back strong. We still have a chance to fall down on our knees and accept, truly accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in Mormon, the 4th chapter, the 93 verse, it says, "Doubt not, but be believing." That's what we need. We need to cast out from our minds and our lives that doubt that hangs on our shoulders and put in its stead, fill it with believing. You know, we just can't put something out of our mind without something replacing it. That would create a vacuum, and our minds cannot be a vacuum. So if we cast out that doubt, we must replace it with something, and let's replace it with belief. Belief in Jesus Christ and the things and the promises that he has for us. Psalms 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Is there something in your life that you want to accomplish, but you doubt that you can do it? You doubt that you have the knowledge. You doubt that you have the strength. You doubt that you have the know-how. Well, in Matthew 17:20, it says, "If ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing," listen to this, "nothing shall be impossible unto you." Now, I got to admit, brothers and sisters, I got to stand before you and admit this morning that I've seen very few mountains move. But if we had that belief, if we had that faith among us today, we could move mountains. I have enough optimism in my soul. I have enough belief in my soul to know that that's a true statement. Because I believe in the words of Jesus Christ. Mark 9:23 says, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And Luke 18:27 says, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." You know, the things that we look at and say, "Man, there's no way that we can do this. There's no way that I can accomplish this task." If we put it in God's hands, we can do it. No matter what that task is. How many of us have been afraid of something or someone in this life? When I was a young man growing up and doing the things that I know that I shouldn't, I had many times where I was really afraid, physically afraid. When I was a young man, about 15, 16 years old, I thought that, as some young people thought, that it was very macho, very, very manly to see how many people you could beat up, to show your strength through physical fighting. And I lived in a little town in by Independence called Sugar Creek that was noted for that type of thing. And I ran in a gang. And we would have fights. And when I was about 16 years old, I really was afraid one night when we were in a set to and someone pulled a knife. And I have a scar up my back now to show for that fear. But you know, that knife and that fear at that time turned me around. I never had a fight after that. Man could get killed like that. I didn't really know God. I really didn't know Christ. I really wasn't able to put my trust in Him. But I have since found God. I have since found Christ, and I can put my trust. I can put my fears at His feet. With the assurance that He will make those fears disappear. I'd like to turn over to Psalms. And I'm going to read out of the 46th Psalm, the first through the third, and then I'm going to read the 10th verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if we can go out that door after this sermon and remember that verse, that God is a very present help in times of trouble, then I will be successful here this morning. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then the 10th verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still take time to be still and let that peace of God flow over you. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee up with the right hand of my righteousness." Remember what God told Joshua after Moses died? He says, "Have I not commanded thee?" And hasn't God commanded us? He says, "Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed." God has commanded us also. And we have that same promise as he gave Joshua. He went on to say, "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And that promise also is to you and I. You know, just because we leave this house and go about our merry way doesn't mean we leave Christ here. He promises to go with us. He promises to go with us to our jobs. He promises to go with us to school, to be with us as we play, to be with us as we work, to be with us as we pray. He is with us always. He gives us that promise. Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He doesn't give us that spirit of fear. When we fear, we should know that it's the devil working with us. It's not God's work. It's not God's spirit to let us fear. It's the devil. But we have to reach down within us and remember those promises that he has given us. Book of Mormon, page 75, on verse 37 says, "Wherefore the righteous need not fear. For thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it be as by fire." The righteous will be saved. We don't have to fear the things that are coming upon the world today if we are the righteous. Oh, there's many things coming upon this world. There's many things out there that are going to get worse and worse and worse. There's many calamities that are going to get worse and worse. There's many things that are bloodletting that's going to get worse and worse. But if we remain righteous, if we remain true to the covenant that we have made with our Heavenly Father, we need not fear these things. We need not fear these things. How about those times when we fail and fall flat on our face, and maybe some of you have done that. Maybe some of you have tried to do something and just failed miserably. I know I have. Well, Psalms 145:14 says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down." And that's what happens when you fail in something, some endeavor or some project that you want. Many times I have failed. I do a little paper hanging. And I don't know how many of you do any paper hanging, but I do a little bit. And my wife decided one time that she wanted the living room repapered. And you know, I thought that I was a pretty good paper hanger. You know, pat myself on the back a little bit and say, Frank, you know what you're doing. You've done it a long time. So I proceeded to put this paper on the wall. The living room's a pretty good sized room. And it looked good. Let me tell you, it looked great, and I was proud, and I walked around, my chest stuck out to here, and the head, and I couldn't get a hat on. I was pretty happy with that. And about an hour later, I come back, and there was bubbles on there that big. All over it. I mean, it was the worst looking job I'd ever seen in my life. I failed miserably. I failed. And I felt terrible. And I was down. And I don't remember now whether I turned my burden over to Christ or not, but I know I should have, looking back on it, because I felt terrible about it. But these are the times that we really need to turn it over to Christ. When we fail at a simple project like putting wallpaper on the wall. We really need to turn that over to Christ, because it can be a disaster. Not only to the wall, but to your ego, to yourself. But God gives promises in these times. And thank God for it. I'd like to turn over to 2 Corinthians. On the 4th chapter, and read the 6th through the 9th verse. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. A beautiful promise that God has given to us that we can put to work in our daily lives. And it doesn't have to be something that's miraculous or something that is big, that's troubling or perplexing you. It could be the smallest everyday occurrence that you may be having problems with that you can turn over to God, and He will take it. He'll take that burden upon Himself, and He'll ease your pain and your suffering. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Yes, this human body, this human frail body is going to fail. This human frail mind is going to fail. But God has all the strength and all the power at His command that is needed for you and I. How many of us today have to face temptation daily? And we talked a little bit this morning in Sunday school about the temptation that's watching us every day. But you know, God has pledges there also. He's made us promises concerning temptation also. In 1 Corinthians 10:13 it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And Satan knows. I can assure you here this morning that Satan knows each one of our weaknesses. He knows what to tempt him, and him with. He knows the things in my life that I will fall to if given the right opportunity. And believe me, he's going to work on that. And so we have to believe in God. We have to give these temptations to God so he will give us strength to overcome those things that are thrown in our way daily. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And another key, this following words are another key to our lives. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We don't want to fall down and roll over and play dead. We have to realize that we have an advocate. We have Jesus Christ, who has much more power, much more strength than the devil, and that he can defeat the devil at any time. And more important, that he can give us those tools that we can defeat the devil also. It's a promise that's given to the righteous. It's a promise to those that follow after Christ. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And this is the evil day. We talked about that this morning. This is the evil day. And so we have to do what I'm going to read from here on down today to be able to withstand those temptations that's going to come to each and every one of us. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The truth that we find in the Bible and the Book of Mormon and Latter-day Revelation. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewithin ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Along these lines, let's turn over to the Book of Mormon. On page 351, I'm going to read one verse, verse 28. But that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have to learn our place, brothers and sisters. We have to put off our haughtiness. We have to put off our pride. We have to humble ourselves and come down in the Spirit of Christ and call on his holy name and watch and pray continually that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear. And thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all long suffering, having faith on the Lord. Are there times in our lives when we feel that we have to stand alone, that we don't even have any help? You know, the suicide rate among the teenagers of today is getting astronomical. It's because they feel like they're alone. It's because they feel like they have no help. They have nowhere to turn. And John 14, 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Then in Matthew 28, 20, he says, Lo, I am with you always, ever unto the end of the world. There is a place for us to turn. There is comfort that we can seek when we feel alone and facing troubles and tribulation without any help. Then in Romans 8:35-37, it says, Who shall separate us from that love of God? Shall tribulation? You know, there's some that tribulation would separate. Or distress? There's some that would separate because of distress. Or persecution? There's some that couldn't take the persecution that would separate from the life of Christ. Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. If we keep Jesus Christ in our lives, if we keep our eyes steadfastly on Christ, these things will not separate us from the love. Not only separate us from the love of Christ and separate us from Christ and the gospel, but it will not allow us to separate one from another because of the trials or the tribulations or the distress that is within this body. This body of Christ. And how many of us need guidance? I think we all need guidance daily, don't we? We all come upon daily things that we really need guidance in. And Matthew 7:7-8 says, Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What a promise to us. What a promise to you and I. That if we need guidance, if we're really perplexed about something, we go to Christ in prayer and He will give us that answer that we seek. I'm going to read now out of James. I'm going to read three verses and you've heard them many, many times, but let them sink into your mind this morning. Leave here thinking about these things. First chapter, fifth verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. How many times, and it's happened to me. This is confession time this morning. I guess it's happened to me. I've had something come up and I've got down on my knees and I've said to myself, well, I'm going to pray about it, but I probably won't get an answer. Is that the way that we need to go into these prayers? Is that the way that we're supposed to approach our Heavenly Father? No. It tells us we're supposed to approach Him with faith, believing, nothing wavering, doubting nothing. And then I'd like to read the 17th verse in that same chapter. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I've talked this morning about a few things that are answered in the Bible. But God makes this promise on many, many more things that I didn't even scratch the surface on. Grief and envy and sickness and anger and weakness and guilt and depression and many, many, many more. So I challenge each one here this morning to study the Scriptures, to find out how God can help you in your daily lives, how His promises can affect you in each thing that you try to undertake, in each project that you try to do, in each situation that you find yourself in. I can assure you, you'll find an answer in the Scriptures. I've been talking this morning about the promises of God, and I happen to have a poem I'd like to close with this morning by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's entitled The Promises of God. In this uncertain world of trouble, with its sorrow, sin, and strife, man needs a haven for his heart to endure the storms of life. He keeps hoping for a promise of better, bigger things, with the power and the prestige that fame and fortune brings. And the world is rife with promises that are fast and falsely spoken, for man in his deceptive way knows his promises can be broken. But when God makes a promise, it remains forever true. For everything God promises, He unalterably will do. So read the promises of God that will never fail or falter, and inherit everlasting life, which even death can't alter. And when you're disillusioned and every hope is blighted, which man can depend, and that's the promise of salvation and a life that has no end. I thank you very much, and I've enjoyed being with you this morning, and I pray your God's goodness upon you.
Thank you, Brother Fan. I have to say that I think surely everyone here very much enjoyed your sermon. As I looked about the crowd, the congregation maybe would be the better word, thoughts come through my mind of yesteryear. Seems that in the Collins community, long, 50, 60 years ago, the Church of Christ consisted of the Martin family. And then in the Depression, along come the Surratt family to join us. And for a good while, it was the Martin and Surratts and their offsprings, of course. And then, sometime in the later time, there was an invasion, much welcomed invasion, over the Yates family and the McIndoes and Shaws. And the latest invasion is the Adams family. And such a delight to have you all. And as I look this morning, perhaps we have more Adams family than any other. And thankfully, this particular day, a close runner-up for the Yates family, Martins, just a couple. The Surratts, a few more. But what a joy. Let's use number 329 for our closing song. We do have food prepared, I guess everyone knows, but in case there's any doubt why we do have food. Number 329. Would you stand, please? Thank you.